Yeah, Giddens brought it up just a little bit ago. Monday morning, I'll be in Lincoln calling basketball. Monday night, it's the Natty. And a lot of people, let me ask you this real quick, because everybody knows who's playing in the game. What percentage do you guys think in the nation is pulling for Indiana?
Everybody besides Miami fans. And maybe some Big Ten
fans. Well, I'm asking. Give me a percentage.
I'd say 90% plus.
Pulling for Indiana?
Yeah.
I'd say you're probably about right because they're the darlings right now.
I mean, there's probably some Ohio State fans and some Oregon fans that are pulling for Miami.
You know what I'd love to see sometime? I'd love to see a stare down between President Trump and Signetti.
I mean, Cristobal can stare him down, too.
No. No. He ain't got smoke on Signetti. I'm just telling you, wouldn't you love to see that stare down, though? I mean, because Trump can get pretty serious at times.
He'll probably be there.
You know, he probably will. Here's the thing with me, and I know that it's just the way the luck played out, but I don't like Miami being able to play in their backyard.
But somebody brought up an interesting point. Miami's playing in their backyard as the away team. So does this throw off Miami because their routine will be different? They'll be in the away locker instead of the home locker?
Well, they'll be wearing their away uniforms. I mean, I don't think that matters much.
I mean, you still get to sleep in your own bed, practice in your own facility. Yeah. There's a lot leading up into the game. But there's a lot of football players that are really like OCD.
Some superstitions
and
they have.
Superstitious. And you're going to be starting in your away locker instead of your home locker at home, wearing the wrong jersey at home.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong, and Bauman may have to look this up. Wasn't there already one bowl game played at Hard Rock this year?
I believe
you're talking about a playoff game?
No.
A bowl game.
Well, the Orange Bowl was played there, but that's between Oregon and Texas Tech in the quarterfinal.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Can we not select a venue for the national championship game that is not affiliated with any college team?
I mean, it happens, but, you know.
No, I'm just saying we should do that. And I'll just use this as an example. The Fiesta Bowl. I guess if you're Arizona, you could play there.
That's not Arizona or Arizona State's home
right.
stadium.
But I'm trying to think, where is there an NFL stadium where there's no college team that's relevant anywhere near? Maybe Pittsburgh?
New York Meadowlands?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Buffalo?
Buffalo, there you go.
They're building a new stadium.
I mean, Boston College would be the closest to them.
Las Vegas would be one.
Absolutely. I'm thinking, can you not pick a venue? There's got to be 10 or 12 of them across the country and say, this is going to be my national championship thing. That way you don't run into this because, correct me if I'm wrong again, didn't one of Georgia's national championships come in Mercedes?
No, I think this is the first time it's happened.
I mean, it's definitely the first time you're ever playing in your true home stadium. I mean, UCLA in the Rose Bowl, Natty, or something like that. I mean,
listen, I know Georgia, if they played in Mercedes against Oregon for the national championship, that's not their home stadium.
Yeah, LSU's won it in the Sugar.
But you're talking about Oregon coming across country to play Georgia 20 minutes from their campus.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
It's just the luck of the draw sometimes.
I know, and I'm not saying that Miami – that they had anything to do with it. They didn't. Listen, Miami's playing better football than anybody right now. So
except Indiana.
Well, listen, I know Indiana's playing much better. They are. And they are the number one team. I haven't believed in them three-fourths of the year. I'm starting to think that now. But I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why I'm starting to believe was because of some of the things I've seen. They're the oldest team in college football.
Production over potential. That's the new term in college sports.
87% of their roster is 23 years and older. Don't you think that makes a difference?
Well, they're older than two NFL rosters.
Yeah, but think about this, and I'm going to ask you guys this. Bauman, tell me what you think. Not just older because of experience, but you're talking about 2 to 3 years older of your body getting bigger, stronger, faster. I mean, don't get me wrong, Malachi Toney, probably the best freshman in the country. Would y'all agree?
Definitely one of them, yeah.
One of them.
He's a three-star out of high school.
Exactly. He is nowhere physically what somebody who's played for Indiana for 4 years and 24 years old is. Sorry.
Shouldn't be, but sometimes you just get genetics.
Freak athletes. Right.
Like Jeremiah Smith didn't look like a true freshman last year.
I got
year.
You. But I'm just saying 87% of their roster is – what do you think about that, Bama? Do you think that comes into play any at all with the way they're playing?
It's coming to play all season. You can see people say they think they're cheating. They think they have the play calls. But a lot of that has to do with the reps you get and what you see game in and game out playing football, college football 3 and 4 years. You know what some offenses are going to throw at you.
And a lot of people have said they've only had to get up for 3 or 4 games this year. Well, you know what? I may agree with that in the fact that when you think about it, they've only really played 4 top 10 teams. But you know what? They've won all of them and pretty much blowed all of them out.
Yeah. I mean, they had 2 close games against teams they shouldn't have been close with, Iowa, Penn State. Besides that, they either beat a highly ranked team or dominated whoever they were playing.
And if you can go on the road to Penn State and do what they've done, I mean, they were down in that game twice.
Mm. Took a miracle.
Yes. Well, the first time they came, you know, they had to have that long drive just to get them back in the game.
But then you look at Miami.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've looked really good at times, but they have losses on the resume to SMU and Louisville.
Here's to me, and y'all tell me what you think the biggest matchup in the game Monday night's going to be. I can tell you from what I've seen, what Indiana did to Alabama when they come out of the locker room in the second half with a 17 to nothing at the time, wasn't it, Bama?
Yeah, 17 to nothing.
They come out and could have gotten lackadaisical, and they didn't do anything fancy. They turned around and hand the ball off for about 8 or 9 plays and smacked you in the mouth for 10 or 15 yards of play and went down the field and scored. That offensive line for Indiana is massive, and they are good, and they've got good running backs. But when you look on the other side of that ball, Miami, the best part of their team, in my opinion, is their defensive line. I mean, they get after it. That's going to be, to me, the matchup of the game.
I mean, it obviously is. It's Indiana's offensive line, their experience, their continuity against Miami's incredibly talented, most talented defensive line in the country.
Really front seven.
Front seven is very good, too. Yeah. And then they turn it into a front eight a lot almost because they bring Keontae Scott, who, you know, we –
Thank you, Auburn.
And here's the thing. It's so strange. This is how unlucky Auburn's been at times. With personnel issues.
At times?
Yeah.
We're unlucky, I mean, period.
It's
been unlucky since Nick Marshall.
We've had some moments. But, you know, Keontae Scott was an outstanding nickel cornerback that came down in run support at Auburn. Absolutely fantastic. But he really, really wanted to play boundary corner. Auburn tried it, realized he wasn't any good at it, and benched him. He transfers and goes to Miami and goes back to nickel, and he's a Thorpe finalist. I mean, if he just stayed at nickel for Auburn, who knows how good this defense was this year.
But it wouldn't matter. Your offense is so bad.
You talked about
it. We might have shut out everybody.
I mean, you talk about unlucky. I mean, I think what happened back in 2013 with the prayer at Jordan Hare and then the kick six, I think, you know, God smiled down on us 2 weeks in a row and said, okay, here's a decade of bad. here's the next 25 years. Sorry, guys.
I wonder if Alabama's getting that right now after Nick Saban retired.
I really don't think it's that bad.
It's not as bad as what Auburn had, but it's not expectations.
But I will tell you this. You just said the key word expectations. Say what you want. Alabama fans got spoiled with Nick Saban.
I mean, Alabama won a playoff game this year, and it is a dumpster fire program.
It's a losing season because we got to the second round of the playoffs.
Meanwhile,
and lost to the national champion.
If Auburn won ten and two in the regular season,
and
went to the SEC championship game, won a playoff game. I can't imagine. I'd roll tumors for a week straight.
They'd be out of toilet paper in Lee County.
Yeah,
I mean, but listen, I get it. expectations are what they are. They're a lot, you know, higher there. But I still say they got spoiled with Nick Saban. And I mean, but now let's be honest. Look at the teams that were in the Final Four. All four of those head coaches, who'd they coach for?
Old Nick Saban.
Yep. There's something in the water, guys. And I'm just telling you.
There were some other ones that didn't make it to that point, but were in the playoffs that also coached for Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like more than half the playoff field had coaches that coached for Nick Saban.
It's almost like the NFL with Sean McVay.
It's incredible.
All right, so let's call it.
It doesn't matter now.
I know. Not I mean, for, Alex not has for won, our record.
Alex has won the pick 'em.
Yeah, I mean, Giddens has got to buy our lunch. So
no, we're both buying Alex's lunch.
That's not what was stated in the.
I'm getting.
You're Ernie's. Getting a lunch. You're getting a lunch, but you're I'm getting supposed an
Ernie's
to get
hot dog
one.
With no condiments.
Ernie's hot dog. Come on, man.
Nothing wrong with Ernie's hot dog.
No, though. I'll go get that special. If you want to buy it? I don't.
No,
care.
But he's getting no. He can't get any special things on
no
it.
No chili.
Getting, nothing. He, it's
oh,
a,
chili makes
it's
a hot
wiener
dog
in a bun.
That's about as cheap. I mean,
it's that or it's a Marie Callender's.
What about a pack of crackers?
No, I'm not buying David's lunch.
No cracker packers around here. All right. So who wins the game, Giddens? You were last. You go first.
I think the story will be told. Indiana's offensive line versus Miami's defensive line, and I think the storybook season ends in Miami because Miami. Realizes offensively that you don't put the game in Carson Beck's hand. You let him be a game manager, distributor. They control the clock. They run the ball efficiently, and they let their defensive line cook, as the youngins say, and Miami wins the natty at home.
Val?
I'm saying Indiana. Miami, I think this has the potential to be not as bad, but almost out of hand early like the TCU-Georgia National Championship was for the Hurricanes. There's potential. If Carson Beck, he's been pretty good through the playoffs. But we all know Carson Beck, it's going to happen. He's going to throw those picks.
I kept saying that too, and it just doesn't. In fact, he makes game-winning plays. So I think them simplifying the offense has helped him tremendously.
But if you force him and you take Mark Fletcher away and you take Malachi Toney away, what does Miami have offensively that's going to be able to go up against Indiana's veteran leadership?
Not a lot. I don't think it's going to be 10-3 low scoring like A&M, but I think it's going to be a low scoring ball game.
So I'm taking Indiana, and I think it's going to be 20-plus points.
I believe in Indiana now that I didn't 5-6 weeks ago.
I was the first believer in Indiana, and I'm picking Miami.
I believe
to win
in
it.
Them, but you're fixing to get mad at me because I don't think Indiana's defense has been tested like what they're going to be Monday night. I just think Miami's offense is too good. And with their defense and with the fact they're playing in their backyard, I do believe it's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a, but how does Indiana react in a close game that they didn't play other than Penn State? How do they react if they get behind? I mean, let's be honest. We talked about that the other day. How many interceptions and pick six have gone against them in the first?
Indiana's had four pick sixes on opening drives this season.
It's a little fishy to me. And Carson Beck is suspect to throwing one of them, okay? But I just believe Miami's going to get out to a quick start, get them behind. Indiana's not used to playing that way this year. They're not used to playing from behind. The only game they played from behind was, Penn State. It's the only one. Even the close game against Iowa, they were in control most of the time. But I give me Miami.
I mean, I think Indiana's defense did a great job against better offenses with Alabama and with Oregon in the playoffs so far, but I think it's a style contrast issue that's going to come into play for Indiana. Those two teams want to go up tempo. They want to spread the field. They want to throw the ball around. Miami's just going to run it down your throat
the
whole
game.
Thing.
Miami can run it and throw it. That's the difference. Alabama, they could throw it a little bit. They couldn't run it. Think about that. Who else did Indiana? Oregon. Oregon couldn't throw it. They couldn't throw
Oregon
it from here to the street.
It.
No.
Well, they also couldn't run it because they had one healthy running back.
That was their biggest issue. They could throw it, but
they couldn't do either one. Look at the scores, what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, in that game, but I'm talking about as season as a whole. Well, I mean, you look at this season as a whole, Oregon and Alabama's offenses were better than Miami's. But it's a style contrast issue. Miami's going to play differently than those two teams. They're going to control the clock. They're going to run it down Miami's or Indiana's throat. Even if they only get 3 yards a carry, they're fine with that. They're going to limit Carson Beck's mistakes. That's why I think they win the game.
All right. Two of us got Miami. And the one lone over there that
we should have gone. Yeah, I mean, he won it all.
He won the picks.
I know what I'm doing here.
I tell you what it is. He's picking Indiana because he wants to say they lost to the national champion.
You know the difference was for me to win this year? Picking Robbie Ashford to beat Mississippi State. That's what won it all for me.
Robbie Ashford.